Well, good evening.
Can I ask the service team that taking up the offering tonight, if you can come up? And this morning when we were doing the offering, I was just saying that, you know, we come and we give. But in fact, I like to think of it as I've come to sow into the kingdom. Because that's actually what we're doing. We're sowing into God's kingdom. And the Bible speaks about the Lord of the harvest. And it is true. Is that when we sow, God then waters and the harvest will come. And so this morning I'd really felt to pray for the businessmen, and I want to do that again this evening. I want to pray for all of you that have your own business. And my prayer is this year that God would give you wisdom and strategy to grow your business. And that you would have a bountiful harvest in your business. Those working for you will be blessed. And those of you who are an employee, my prayer is that you will have ideas and you will go to your employer and you will cause them to prosper. You know, this morning I was speaking from Jeremiah where the Lord was speaking to the Jews. They went off into captivity. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, give them this word. Now, you've got to remember these guys were taken off by the Babylonians. They're in a foreign city. There's a foreign nation. There's foreign gods. Do you know what the Lord tells them to do? He tells them to pray for the city, because when it prospers, you are going to prosper. Isn't that amazing? He told them, build houses, get married, have children, put down your roots, but pray for the city that it prospers, because you will prosper. And when we have a look at Durban, we should be praying for Durban. Lord, we pray that Durban would prosper, because when it prospers, we are going to prosper. And didn't you see Invictus this past holidays? What a movie. Huh? I went and had a look. Esther was saying to me, she said, you know, every matric this year should go and see Invictus. It was such a good movie, not really about the rugby, but about Nelson Mandela and what he did for this country. And it really was an insight into the man of Nelson Mandela. And this morning I spoke about position for purpose. And this afternoon I was just thinking, I was sitting in my study thinking, and I thought, hey Lord, you are so smart. Nelson Mandela was positioned for purpose. You know, because it says in Romans, it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. God put Nelson Mandela as the president of this country. A lot of people think they voted him in. You're quite right, but God had a much bigger plan. And just having a look at Invictus and how Nelson Mandela actually shaped this country, is that we've got the World Cup later this year, in July. I was wondering what they're going to call the movie about Bafana Bafana. And I thought, now I've got it, Mission Impossible 4. And Tom Cruise is going to play Benny McCartney. But Steve got up this morning and he really gave us vision for this year, and saying, guys, I want us to dream big this year, but dream in God. And that God is going to cause wonderful things to happen, not only in this church, but out in the place where you are, in the schools and in the business where you are, in the neighborhoods that you live. And someone after the service came to me and they said, Brad, what's your dream for this year? So luckily I was prepared. And I said to them, my dream this year, and one that God has placed in my heart, I've got some others, but this one God has also placed in my heart. And that it is that our children's church is going to experience the presence of God like never before. That's one of my dreams this year. Is that the Holy Spirit would come upon our children like never before. And I'm telling you, it's going to transform the church. You know, we've got this new curriculum in children's church. We went to a conference last year, at the end of last year. And we've got this curriculum, and it's called the Children's Church Supernatural Curriculum. But it's not about signs and wonders. It's an emphasis is that we minister to children under the power of the Holy Spirit. We no longer have teachers in children's church. We have ministry teams in children's church. They minister to the children. And we really praying that the Holy Spirit would flow freely in the children's church. That's my dream for this year. That we're going to have children on fire for God. They're going to go out of here into their schools, into their homes. And I tell you, the church is going to be transformed through the children. We just heard so many testimonies. These people came across from America. They're from Bill Johnson's church, and we thought we're going to have 3 days of conference. They didn't teach us one thing. All they did was they gave us testimonies of what's happening to the children in their church. And that set my heart alight. I said, Lord, what a dream. I'm really trusting this year that our kids are going to experience the Spirit of God like never before. Last week I was saying in the morning service, there is no junior Holy Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that dwells within you and me dwells within our children. They give their hearts to the Lord. And so, I was also saying this morning, you know, that looking in the past years, that sometimes you feel, I'm going to hack my way through this year. I'm going to do it. Get a panga. I'm going to chop this forest down. Let me tell you, you'll get to the end. You'll be extremely tired. You'll be exhausted. You're going to have blisters all over your fingers. And you're going to wish you'd never chopped this forest down. Me, I've got this dream. I'm going with a chainsaw. I'm going to get to the end. I'm not going to be tired and I've got no blisters. That's what I'm really hoping for. And then I was just sharing that on Friday afternoon, Esty was standing on our veranda. And she called me, Brad, come here. You know, it's that voice that says, come quickly because there's drama. I said, oh, that's a quiet little voice. Brad, just come here. I went to the veranda, yes. She says, look there, did you know that tree had fallen down? There, this tree had just fallen down in our garden. It was the second tree in 2 weeks. I said, Lord, thank you. You're going to pull down the trees this year? I'm not going to have to cut them down. Esty said, hey, don't get so clever with that. But the truth is that God does it. We don't. God is going to do it on our behalf this year. You know that in the scriptures, in the Psalms, it says, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. Cast your burdens on the Lord and He will sustain you. And in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares. Not because it's a good thing to do, but because He cares. And so my title for this evening, if you want a title, is Run, Forrest, Run. You all remember that movie? Huh? I was singing a soft note, I'm going to get that movie again. I want to watch it. That movie inspired me. It really did. And, you know, Travis was just speaking and he said, you know, he had this feeling that the Holy Spirit was here equipping people. I tell you, that thing just confirmed with me in my spirit that God is going to equip us this year. He's going to equip us to run well. And so my title is Run, Forrest, Run. And you remember that movie, and one of it, those bullies are after him. And he's got these like bionic legs. He's got these calipers on his legs. And that little girl shouts because the bullies are after him. Run, Forrest, run. And he does. He starts running. And those calipers come off. The next minute, he's like gliding. He's now a marathon runner. I was so excited, I got him into the aisle. Run, Forrest, run. It was amazing. This is awesome. I watched that movie just for that. But you know, he suddenly realized, I can run. Because all the time he's walking around with his metal legs. And then of course through the movie, you see him later on when he's an older man, he decides one day, I'm going to run. And so he runs for about 2 years. But he gets a whole lot of people behind him. Remember that scene? Hordes of people just running behind him. No other reason than Forrest Gump is running. You see, when you run like that, with passion and with purpose, people will tuck in behind you. Because it's infectious. It really is. And so I read this quote the other day. It's a chap called Howard Thurman. He's a theologian and he's an author. And he wrote this. He said, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, then go and do that. Because what the world needs is people who come alive. It doesn't need people to solve problems. It needs people who are alive. And the problems will get solved. You know, the gospel, Steve's often said it. The gospel doesn't make bad people good. It makes dead people come alive. So the gospel does. And so as Christians, we live this life on purpose. That's what we do. Because if we come to a full understanding of what God says in the scriptures, He says He's come to give us life. And so it makes sense that if God comes to give life, then that life must have a purpose. He doesn't come and just do things for nothing. God always has purpose. Throughout the whole of Scripture, you'll see God does things with purpose, not just because. And so, I've got to admit, I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, this is going to be a great day. I believe, I really do, I was born for purpose. I really believe that. It's not arrogant, it really isn't. But I do believe in the bottom of my heart, I was born for purpose. And so I go and I say, okay, Lord, what's the purpose? What is your purpose for me this year? Where I am, where you've placed me. If you want to know the meaning of your life, look to the Creator. And they always say, if you want to know the meaning of something that's been designed, go and talk to the designer, because he'll tell you why he designed it. If you want to know the meaning for your life, go and talk to the Creator. Because you were born for purpose. In 2 Peter 1 verse 3 it says this, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power granted to you and to me, all things pertain to life and godliness. And that famous verse in Jeremiah 31:17, there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. And 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has plans for your good. Despite what you see around you, despite what you're experiencing, God's plans are good for you. And so this evening I want to chat about two things that are going to help us live life to the fullest, that we can live without calipers on our legs. And you've got to admit, some things just get you down. They just wear you down. Some things seem to have this knack of wearing you down. And if you look carefully at your life, you're going to feel like you're running this race, but you're not getting anywhere. You're running the race, you're just getting exhausted. It's not fun to run this race. And this is the race we run. We run hard. Man, the faster I go, the better it'll be for me. Man, I must burn at 10,000 degrees. Whoo! You hot 10,000. This is awesome. In the process, you're dying. No, in order to do more, I'm going to have to run harder and faster. Lord, is this good enough? Or do I have to do a whole lot more? Now, this kind of race can be very disappointing. Because all you seem to do is to get nowhere, but get very exhausted. You wake up in the morning, feels like you never slept. Get out of bed, you think, oh Lord, not another day. When we should be getting up, said, Lord, another day on this earth. Now, I must tell you, I love sport. I really do. I love watching sport. I love to watch good sportsmen competing with each other. And I love the Olympics. I do. Because like the best of the best compete against each other. And the short races are the best. It's like cricket. I don't watch 5-day games. I watch like the 20 overs is the best for me. And it must happen. Come on. Compete, happen. And I really do enjoy it. And then I always have a problem in the Olympics with the silver medal. For me, that's a problem medal. I don't know why they've got it, but it is a problem. Because if I was an Olympic athlete, I'd rather come last than get the silver medal. I really would. Because when you win the gold, you feel good. Not so? It's the truth. When you win the bronze, at least I've got something. And when you win the silver, congratulations, you almost won. It's terrible. All the losers, you came first in that group. That's the silver winner. You are number one loser. You see, that's what the silver medalist got to contend with. No one lost ahead of you. You see, I'm silver medal. Rather get the bronze. It's much easier. And all these races are so short. These days, people are so competitive, you win by a hundredth of a second. Do you know how quick the hundredth of a second is? Now, you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. Someone beat you by the hundredth of a second. And so you go to the Olympics, you get the silver, you know. You go home, everyone's to hear how you got the silver. Oh man, that's awesome. You got a silver medal at the Olympics. Well done. What happened? Did you trip? Did you not hear the gun go off? Did you not start so well? Was there a win not in your favor? Tell us. And the difference between the hundredth is like a no. That's how quick it is. No. That's a one, I came second. No. That's how quick it is. I mean, that's crazy. The silver medalist trained. Generally, if you go and have a look at their lives, he's probably been training for 10 years. Just to go to the Olympics. He didn't go to movies. He didn't have time to go out with girls. He never ate hamburgers. Never went for a waffle at Milky Lane. And then he flies halfway across the world, goes to the Olympics, and loses by now. That's how he lost. and then to rub it in, they take photo finish. Huh? And they send it to him. He has a photo finish. It's like I swam the mid-mile mile and some twit took a picture, sent it to me. And then he says, if you don't want it, send it back. I looked at this picture. I thought, that's not me. That guy's fat. It's terrible when they take pictures of you after a race. So they take the photo finish at the Olympics. And you know what it looks like this. Gold, silver, bronze. Eh? That's what it looks like. Who's that? Gold, silver, bronze. Lost. Eh? It's like so quick like this. Don't send the pictures. It's just going to depress you. And so point number one in this living our life without calipers on our legs is this. We run as victors, not trying to win what we've already won. You see, because that's the truth. We've got to let that sink deep into our hearts. You don't have to run as if you've lost because you've already won. That's what Scripture tells me. Listen to this. In the kingdom of God, we're victors. You have the gold medal. 1 John 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We have already won. We have already overcome the world by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And so as believers, we live life as gold medal winners. You are already a gold medal winner. You don't have to strive to get the victory. You already got it. 1 John 4 verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You see, we are victorious because the Spirit of God dwells within us. That's why we're victorious. No longer do you have to stress and strain to try and please God. Do I make the grade? Only if I make the grade. When I make the grade, I'm going to do this. God, are you pleased with me? God's already pleased with you because of His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 8 verse 9. The Spirit of God dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? James 4 verse 5. He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us. You know, in the Old Testament, God would come down to His people. But under the New Covenant, under which you and I are part of, God dwells inside of His people. And so, our identity is secure. We know who we are. 1 John 3 verse 1. See what kind the love of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Do you want to know who you are? You're a child of God. Because you've accepted Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession. We're a holy nation, a chosen race. Romans 10 verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. We are the righteousness of Christ. That's who we are. Point 2 in living this life without calipers on our legs is this. We run as those whose burdens have been lifted. That's how we run this race. Have you ever tried to walk, let alone run, with baggage? Have you seen those guys? I mean, you can try it, but it's not so clever. When you run with baggage on, it's like you can't run. And you don't run properly because the baggage is always banging your legs, so it looks like you're stumbling half the time. And you see those people in the airports, they're late for their flight. Huh? They haven't got time for their baggage to go through the normal channel, so they've got to come with their baggage to that little, what do they call it, that release counter. They come there with bags, haversacks, they've got everything. It's like a whole caravan just got put on top of them. And they come to that counter and they're puffing. You know what, I look at that, I think, oh my Lord, I hope you're not near me because my bag's not going into that cabin. I'm going to have to sit with it on my lap the whole way. And you see, and they come in, and then they put their bags, and it goes down about 5 hours. They're going down like this, all their bags, because they were late. And then I look at them and I think, oh boy, I haven't seen one of them that arrive not sweating. They're always pouring with sweat. Looks like they've run 3 marathons dragging their bag. And they, funnily enough, they're always the last one to get to that counter. And so they arrive there, and the air hostess says, "Sir, what flight are you booked on?" "Sir, excuse me, what flight are you booked on?" They stand like this. He can't say a word because his breath is gone. "Sir, are you okay?" It looks like he's going to have a heart attack on the spot. Then the horrible side comes out. "I wish he did, then he wouldn't put his bags in my place." But why is it we always want to carry lots of stuff? Do you know? For some reason, we want to carry lots of stuff, and when we're not, we find stuff to carry. That's what we do. "Oh, I'm so free. I better carry something. This can't be true. This is too good to be true." But you know, it's like losing your luggage at the airport. It really is. If some of you who have lost your luggage, you'll know what I'm talking about. And so there you go. You're excited for this trip that you're going on. And you go to the mall and you buy this coat and this jacket and some new clothes. You get some new shoes because you're going to be some walking in this new place. You go get sunglasses from that really happy guy on the side of the road. And he tells you they're Ray-Bans. And then you walk off and you open them and you look on the side. You think, "Oh dear, they spelt it wrong. It's Ray-Bans." "Ah, okay." And so you walk back and you look for him. But now he's selling caps and he doesn't know who you are. "No, so you didn't buy it for me." He's selling big caps now. You know what I mean? And anyway, so you go and you buy this brand new bag for all your things. It's going to be a great trip. Man, this is going to be great. And then off you go. And you come on the plane and you have a wonderful trip. And then you get back. You get onto your destination. You get off the plane. You go to the carriage and that's what you get. You find your bag is only now this big. I mean, it was about this big when you got there. And you go and you have a look. You see, what happened to my bag? And you know, it is funny at first because you think that can't be my bag. And then you realize that little tag on the side, it is my bag. And then the baggage handlers at the airport, I mean, they're so kind and they're compassionate. They're thinking of you. They put the sticker on. And it says 18 kilograms. So you think, I've just lost 17 kg somewhere. It's got your name on. And then it also says there, bend your knees, heavy. And you realize, I ain't bending nothing for this bag. But everyone collects their baggage and then you do realize this is yours and you're going to have to take it with you. You know how silly you look walking with this into the arrivals lounge. And everyone's got these massive bags behind them. And so what do? I know it's going through your mind because I've been there, lost my luggage and got the t-shirt. You say, I'm going to sort this out. I'm going to go to those baggage people. Now, it's that very professional-looking counter. There's a lady behind it. She's always smiling. Nothing's flustering her. You arrive with this bag thing with you. You arrive there. She says, "Sir, can I help you with anything?" And you say, she says, "Sir, is there a problem? Do you have a problem?" You say, yeah, I've got a problem with my baggage. And she says, "Okay, is that not it?" You say, "Well, it's some of it." You want to be positive? It is some of it. And you say, "But I'm really thrilled that I've got part of it. But I'm going to be in Joburg for 2 months. It's not going to quite cut it for me." And she'll say, "Well, sir, do you think anyone interfered with it?" "Well, you shouldn't rule that out." Then she'll say, "Sir, tell me, did you leave it unattended at any point?" I say, "Well, I must have. I think I would have noticed as I'm walking in the airport with my bag and suddenly it got 17 kgs lighter. I think I would have noticed, don't you think?" She says, "Sir, did you pack it yourself?" I say, "What do you mean? Do you think someone packed it for me and thought I only needed this for 2 months?" She says, "Sir, would you like to report it?" I said, "I'd love to." Put my name, put my address, and then it gets to question number 3. "Mr. Sadler, does your luggage have any distinguishing features?" "It's got 2 black handles, if that helps." But you see, it is an illustration of our possessions and of our baggage. Why do we carry all this baggage that weighs us down? When Jesus comes and He says to us, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We give our lives to the Lord, we experience freedom immediately. And then from the following week, we set out to carry baggage with us on this Christian walk. Why is it that we do that? Because Jesus comes and He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This walk of ours is not burdensome because we have the Holy Spirit that walks with us, that dwells inside of us. That's why this walk is not burdensome. You know that in Scripture it says that the Lord is the lifter of our head. Now you must understand the custom behind that verse. You know that in Israel, that if something had happened to you and you were burdened, debt or someone was giving you a whole lot of problems, what you would do is you would walk around in the marketplace with your head bowed. You'd just walk around like this. That's all you'd do. You'd walk around. Then someone who really felt that they could help you would come and stand next to you and then just lift your head like this. And everyone else in that marketplace would recognize that you were going to help them through their troubles. Huh? How's that? The whole community in there would realize, oh, I see, He is going to help that man who's burdened. And you know, the Lord says exactly the same thing to you and to me. He says, I am the lifter of your head. The Lord comes when you have this burden upon you. He says, I am the one that's going to stand with you and lift your head. I'm the one that's going to take that burden from you so that you can run free. It's the Lord that does it. Who wouldn't want God to do that? And so in living this life on purpose, we are here to live life on purpose. Not just go through life, drift through life. You know that if you drift through life, I can promise you one thing. December the 25th will literally be next week. That's what it will feel like if you're going to drift through this year. I'm going to encourage you. I want to exhort you. Ask the Lord. Say, Father, what is your purpose for my life this year? Because you will get to the end of the year and you'll say, man, that was a good year. With all its trials and its tribulations, it's good times. It's times when you just wanted to rejoice in the aisle. But you will get to the end of the year and you will know that the Lord had given you purpose, not just to drift through the year. You see, we do run as victors. We run as those who have already won. That is freeing in itself. And secondly, we run as those whose burdens have been lifted by the Lord. We're not here to run the race burdened. You know that if you see people around you, it looks like that they are burdened. Go across them and say, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the lifter of your head. Because a lot of the time we will look to people to be the lifter of our head. Yes, they can, but it will be temporary. But we've got to look to the eternal God to be the lifter of our head. And He will take your burdens upon Him. Because that's what the Scripture says. Cast your burdens upon me. It doesn't say only if this or if you can't anymore or if you've tried for 2 months and you can't. He says, just cast your burdens upon me. Cast all your anxieties upon me. And so this year I am excited. One, I'm excited because I'm dreaming and I'm saying, Lord, I know what you're going to do with my life. I have dreams for parts of this church, for other people, for children. But I also know this, is that the Lord is going to be the one that will carry my burdens, providing I allow Him to. You know, you can take them back. Say, Lord, won't you carry this? Oh, can I have it back? Because I'm feeling kind of free. That's what we do. This can't be so good. Surely I've got to do something else. No, that's not the truth. Scripture says, it's easy. And His burden is light. And so, I'm going to purpose this year. Say, Lord, every day that I wake up, Father, give me those dreams because those are going to excite me for my life this year. It means I have purpose for this life that you've given me. If God has given you life, He's given you purpose. But I also want to run free. I am going to get that DVD, Run Forrest Run, just to excite me again. It was such a good movie. If you guys have seen the movie, that man is free. He goes to war, he gets a boat. He's the only boat in the storm, he survived. I mean, you really have a look and think, man, this guy did so well. And then he bought some shares in some fruit company, Apple, and then he made multi-millions, you know. It really was a good movie. It really was an encouraging movie. But I want to run like Forrest. Run, Forrest, run this year. With purpose and with God's power in my life. Not on my own. Not striving. I encourage you to do that this year. Won't you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who says, cast your anxieties and your burdens upon me. And Father, we ask you, help us with that. Help us, Father, to do that. Lord, that we don't carry these burdens out of some sort of loyalty. Lord, or out of, oh, I can't be free unless I'm carrying a burden. Father, we pray you'd take those burdens from us. I thank you, Lord, that we can run free under the anointing of your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that your Spirit dwells within us richly. I thank you, Father, that you are the lifter of our head in those times where we feel burdened. I thank you, Lord, that you are our Father, God the Father, that we are your children. We are a holy nation before you, a people for your possession. Father, this year we ask that you give us big dreams. Lord, that you show us your purposes for every single one of our lives. Lord, that you strengthen us. Father, that you encourage us. And Lord, we pray for our children. We thank you, Lord, for that gift that you've given to families, children. We pray, Father, this year that your Spirit would come and rest upon them. That, Lord, that in the children's church here at Highway, that, Father, we would see your Spirit break out amongst the children, transforming lives and hearts and minds. And that, Lord, would go out into the schools and into the city. We thank you, Lord, for Durban. Thank you, Lord, that you have positioned us with purpose in this city. We pray for Durban, Lord. We pray for your blessing upon it. We pray, Lord, that you would prosper Durban and its people. We pray, Lord, you would prosper the businesses in this city. That they, Father, would not walk around purposeless, but would be purposeful. We pray, Lord, for souls to be saved in this city. That, Father, people would come to know you. That dead people would come alive because of your Spirit that would come and dwell within them. We thank you, Lord, for this time together as your people. We pray, Lord, as we go from here, that we would be a blessing to many others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Remember, donuts and hot dogs, cappuccinos and hot chocolate for the insomniacs.